Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Friday, March 8th, 2019. Coming up this hour.
Global stocks slide as concerns about growth mount.
Chinese equities plunge as a rare sell rating stuns traders.
Talks of a tie-up between Deutsche Bank and Commerce Bank pick up steam.
Up next, we look to the U.S. jobs report for the latest reading on the world's biggest economy.
From an ostrich jacket to an orange jumpsuit, former Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort has been sentenced. Plus, the House passes an anti-hate measure. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. A win for the Islanders. The Rangers lost, and sad news on Mets legend Tom Seaver suffering from dementia, retiring from public life.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit SectorSPDRS.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF.
Stocks around the world are falling as concerns about global growth take center stage. It is 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 11 points, Dow futures down 94, NASDAQ futures down 39. The DAX in Germany is down 0.6%, CAC in Paris down 0.33%, and the FTSE 100 down 0.7%. Nikkei 225 in Japan fell 2%, the Hang Seng in Hong Kong down 1.9%. 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd, yield 2.63%, yield on the 2-year 2.46%. NYMEX crude oil down 1.4% or 78 cents to $55.87 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.7% or $8.30 to $12.94.40 an ounce. The euro, $1.12.12, the yen, 111.12. Nathan.
Karen, stocks in Asia are leading the global sell-off as signs emerge China could be trying to slow its equity rally. Let's head to Singapore for the very latest from Bloomberg's Juliet Sally. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. Chinese stocks had their biggest one-day drop since October as investor sentiment was hit by the rare sell rating from CITIC Securities. They advise clients to get out of People's Insurance Company shares, which have become somewhat of a poster child of the ramp-up in Chinese equities. Traders took that as a signal the recent run-up had gone too far, too fast. The Shanghai Composite closed lower by 4.4%, dragging the yuan and Aussie down with it. Asian stocks as a whole had their worst session since late December. Yen strength amid risk-off sentiment sending the Nikkei down almost 2% in Tokyo to 21,025 points. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Juliet, thank you. Weak trade data from China is also weighing on sentiment, with the country's imports and exports both falling in February. Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis reports from Hong Kong.
Exports fell a staggering 20.7%, while imports dropped 5.2%. Economists had forecast both would shrink, but far less. February was an uncertain period for Chinese exporters. In addition to the holiday shutdown, trade negotiations simmered ahead of a March 1st deadline for additional tariffs. Now, China's trade picture with the U.S. and Europe is unclear, with tariffs the main barrier with the former and a much weaker economy in the latter. In Hong Kong, I'm Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
And Brian, stocks in Europe are posting losses this morning as well, with concerns about global growth deepening. Bloomberg's Ewan Potts joins us live from London with the latest. Good morning, Ewan.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. A sea of red on equity traders, Bloomberg screens today. The Stoxx 600 down 0.6%, its biggest drop in a month. Car makers and miners among the worst performing sectors. That's as investors worry about the global growth picture. Adding to the woes, German factory orders unexpectedly falling in January. Economists had forecast a gain of 0.5%. Instead, manufacturing orders in Europe's biggest economy dropped 2.6%, the most since June. And after the ECB slashed its 2019 growth forecast from 1.7 to 1.1%. Some policymakers have told Bloomberg they still consider that number too optimistic. The officials are said to be concerned the pickup in the second half of this year might not materialise. Live in London, I'm Ewan Potts, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Ewan, thank you. While concerns about global growth continue, the EU warns that things could get even worse if the U.S. imposes tariffs on auto imports. That's according to European Trade Commissioner Cecilia Malmström. She spoke exclusively to Bloomberg following a meeting with U.S. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer.
We still hope, of course, that it will not recommend tariffs on cars for European Union. It will be very harmful for our economy. It will be harmful for the global economy, and it will be very harmful for the U.S. economy, because, of course, many cars are produced here in the U.S. with car parts from Europe. They sustain many jobs. As a whole, European trade and investment support 7 million jobs in the U.S.
And Trade Commissioner Malmstrom tells us the EU is preparing to retaliate with tariffs on $22 billion in U.S. goods if the White House follows through on auto levies.
Now, the next catalyst for global markets today is likely the February U.S. payrolls report. Economists forecast the economy added 180,000 jobs, with the pace of wage gains rising to 3.2%. Jan Hatzius is chief economist at Goldman Sachs.
The February number could be fairly strong because of some supportive calendar effects. But, the monthly number isn't necessarily the best representation of the trend. The trend, we think, is generally higher, gradually higher, and we're a little bit above 3% now, and we think that probably continues.
And the jobs report's due out at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time. Stay tuned for live coverage and analysis on Bloomberg Radio and Television.
On the corporate front, when it comes to Deutsche Bank and Commerce Bank, there have been whispers of a possible tie-up for months, but now sources tell us merger talks are picking up steam. Bloomberg's Stephen Ahrens has details from Frankfurt.
We've been reporting about potential deal for a very long time, but the new flavor, if you will, of this is that they are now really talking more explicitly and more intensely about the potential merger, which obviously reflects a higher probability of this actually happening.
Sources tell Bloomberg recent setbacks for Deutsche Bank and Commerce Bank are adding urgency to reach a potential deal. Both firms lost more than half of their market value last year.
Meanwhile, hedge funds are off to their strongest start in 7 years thanks to the global equity rally. More from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
According to a monthly report from Hedge Fund Research, the industry saw gains for the second month in a row, rising 1.4% in February and 4.9% for the year. On a fund-weighted basis, the returns were led by equity strategies, which rose 1.8% on average last month and are up about 7% for the year. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thank you. And S&P futures down 12 points this morning. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
All right, thank you, Karen. It's 5:07 on Wall Street, and Michael Barr is here with more of what's going on around the world. Good Friday morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. 47 months behind bars, plus $24 million in restitution and a $50,000 fine. That's the sentence for Paul Manafort's tax and bank fraud. Bloomberg's Bob Moon reports it's far less than prosecutors sought.
He could have faced 20 years in prison as prosecutors wanted. He was sentenced to less than four. Special counsel Robert Mueller had urged the judge to take into account the gravity of Manafort's conduct, asserting he repeatedly and brazenly violated the law over a decade. Manafort asked for compassion, saying his life is in shambles. His lawyer, Kevin Downing, argued a 20-year sentence would be excessive.
Mr. Manafort finally got to speak for himself. He made clear he accepts responsibility for his conduct.
In fact, the judge had voiced surprise that Manafort did not express regret for engaging in wrongful conduct, but added that Manafort has lived an otherwise blameless life. Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak.
The House passed a resolution that condemns anti-Semitic, anti-Muslim, and other bigotry after Minnesota Democratic Congresswoman Ilhan Omar's recent remarks were deemed as anti-Semitic. Omar accused Jewish lobbying groups of demanding members of Congress to show allegiance to Israel. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says Omar may not have fully understood what she was saying, but she needs to explain her remarks.
Attacks on Jewish people, anti-Semitic tropes, prejudicial accusations, or any other form of hatred is deeply and unequivocally offensive and must be condemned wherever it is heard.
The U.S. is renewing calls on the United Nations Security Council to take action against Iran. The U.S. is accusing Iran of intensifying its efforts to develop ballistic missile technology. U.K. Prime Minister Theresa May will today make a last-ditch attempt to break the Brexit impasse. Bloomberg's Sandra Kilhoff in London reports.
Theresa May will today tell the EU that the outcome of next week's vote on her Brexit deal is in its hands. Signs are emerging that the two sides are trying to make progress, with the EU having made a new offer on the Irish backstop, according to sources. But it is said to fall short of what Britain has demanded. May will today say that she still hopes to get legally binding changes ahead of Tuesday's parliamentary vote. Talks are expected to continue into the weekend, and if they fail, Parliament will likely vote against May May's deal for a second time. In London, Sandra Kilhoff, Bloomberg Radio.
Global news 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. 5:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update with John Stashower.
Nathan, the news came yesterday. It was stunning, very sad. Tom Seaver, undisputably the greatest Met ever, suffering from dementia and retiring from public life. So when the living members of the Miracle Mets celebrate the 50th anniversary of their World Series win this summer, Seaver will not be able to attend. Reaction came from the current Mets manager, Mickey Callaway.
To have such a special baseball player, such a special pitcher, a legend of the game of baseball, be a Met is a tremendous honor for our organization. Our thoughts and prayers go out to he and his family, and you can't ask for a better pitcher to kind of lead your best pitcher ever in your organization. So our thoughts and prayers go out to he and his family at this time.
The 74-year-old Seaver has been running a winery in Napa, California. The current Mets ace, Jacob deGrom, on the mound in West Palm, gave up a couple runs. Mets lost to the Nationals 6-4 in Clearwater. Yankees shut out the Phillies 6-0. New Yank James Paxton impressive pitching into the fourth inning. Hockey in Ottawa, two early goals for the Islanders. They won 4-2 to move back into a tie for first with Washington. Six straight loss for the Rangers, although they picked up a point in four of those games, a 3-2 shootout loss in Detroit. Some smaller conferences getting the jump on championship week. The Metro Atlantic underway in Albany. Manhattan beat Fairfield. Monmouth advanced past Niagara. NJIT got blown out at Lipscomb. Atlantic Sun semifinals. Another quarterback on the move. Case Keenum will be traded by Denver to Washington. And the NFL Network reports the Steelers are going to trade their unhappy wide receiver Antonio Brown to Buffalo. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. Tune in tonight for the Bloomberg Business of Sports show when we speak with an NFL Pro Bowler who's leading the way for athletes in business. Catch our conversation with the defensive tackle Ndamukong Suh tonight at 8, tomorrow at 11 a.m. on Bloomberg Radio, or download the show anytime as an Apple podcast on iTunes. Futures pointed to a lower open on Wall Street. You are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Daybreak is brought to you by Withum, a forward-thinking, technology-driven advisory and accounting firm helping clients be in a position of strength in today's modern business landscape. Visit Withum.com to learn more.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update brought to you by SEI. With a 50-year history of innovation, SEI's outsourced solutions help achieve lasting success for investment managers, asset owners, private banks, and independent advisors. Learn more at SEIC.com. It is Jobs Day, but it's a plunge in Chinese stocks that's setting the tone for global markets, with equities in Europe retreating alongside U.S. stock index futures amid renewed concerns about global growth. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 14 points, Dow futures down 117, NASDAQ futures down 49, the DAX in Germany is down 0.7%, 10-year Treasury up 2/32nds, yield 2.63%, yield on the 2-year 2.46%, NYMEX crude oil down 1.5%, down 88 cents to $55.78 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.7% or $8.80 to $12.94.90 an ounce. The euro, $1.12.12, the yen, 111.10. It is Jobs Day, as I said, and the February jobs report is out at 8:30 Wall Street time, along with housing starts and building permits. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Karen. Paul Manafort has been sentenced to nearly 4 years in prison, much less than what was called for under sentencing guidelines. The former Trump campaign chairman was sentenced for tax and bank fraud related to his work advising Ukrainian politicians. Manafort told the judge he felt humiliated, but he offered no explicit apology. The House has passed a resolution condemning anti-Semitism and other bigotry. The 407-23 vote comes as Democratic freshman Representative Ilhan Omar's recent comments suggesting House supporters of Israel have dual allegiances. In the NHL, the Rangers lost in a shootout to the Red Wings. The Islanders won along with the Bruins. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. It's 519 on Wall Street. Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak. Our guest on this Friday morning, Christina Hooper, Chief Global Market Strategist at Invesco. Always good to talk with you, Christina. And it seems like the theme this week has been concerns about global growth. We've seen it in the data coming out of China, the slashed forecast from the OECD and the ECB. Does this mean that the rally that started off 2019 for equities has kind of lost steam here?
Oh, it absolutely has lost steam, and with good reason. All along, what we've seen in 2019 is some trepidation in markets, as indicated by treasuries. We saw yields relatively low, and that was a harbinger of things to come, but it really wasn't until we started seeing some significant central bank changes of heart that I think that raised questions about what exactly is going on. And of course, the ECB yesterday, I believe, really knocked the wind out of the sails of investors by its change of heart.
Yeah, I mean, so where do you see the wind turning? I mean, do you see the wind turning at any point anytime soon?
Well, sure. If we were to get better data, better economic data, that would of course be the remedy for current concerns. The problem is we haven't seen any strong data, and we've, of course, seen downwardly revised forecasts, like from the OECD. So we're going to be in a holding pattern where markets are going to be overly sensitive. They're going to veer towards the downside, but it is certainly not permanent. And I believe if we do see some improvement in data, or if we get news that the U.S. and China really are close to or have a trade agreement, that could certainly move stocks in a different direction.
I wonder whether we'll continue to see that hesitation from the data that we get today from the Labor Department, the February jobs report. I mean, we've had strong job growth for so long here, and there's a sense that that could continue given how resilient the job market's been.
Certainly. I think consensus expectations are lower than certainly what we saw in January, but that was a blowout. We are in late cycle, so we should expect non-farm payrolls below 200,000, but that doesn't mean that's what we're going to get. We could see another strong number. I certainly wouldn't be surprised to see in the neighborhood of 200,000 or more.
How do you see the markets reacting to a number like that?
I think markets will be somewhat nonchalant, unfazed by it, but perhaps it could give a bit more of a positive bias on a day like today.
Is there anywhere that you see a buy opportunity, given the sort of stagnation we're seeing in the equity market, particularly this week?
Certainly. There are buying opportunities in the U.S., which still looks relatively good when compared to other developed markets. We also have to recognize that the Fed's change in stance, taking its foot off the accelerator, has really taken pressure off emerging markets. So it's time not to load into emerging markets, but to selectively find opportunities in emerging markets. And I think many of those will be found in Asia.
Can you be more specific in terms of maybe sectors or things of that nature?
Sure. Well, first of all, I would say that Chinese equities were beaten down last year on, I think, the assumption that China would suffer, but the U.S. wouldn't in a U.S.-China trade war. Now we've seen investors have a change of heart. They bid up Chinese equities, but I still believe they're very attractively valued, and certainly some tech names in particular look like good long-term opportunities. But in general, this is just a time for investors to be more discerning and selective. It's going to be hard to be an index investor, particularly in the EM space.
So are you looking then, advising clients to put more money into to treasuries, things with a little bit more resilience?
Well, what we're arguing is that they need to be extremely well diversified, and that includes alternatives exposure. Many investors really avoided alternatives over the last few years. They didn't feel the need to because equities were delivering strong returns with very low volatility. But this is a very different market environment. So to have adequate exposure to alternatives should bring down the overall volatility in a portfolio because they tend to be lower correlating asset classes. And they may very well produce some solid returns in coming years, particularly areas like real estate. Mm-hmm. So this is an exciting opportunity.
Christina Hooper, Chief Global Market Strategist at Invesco. Always great to get your insights. Thanks for being with us here on this Jobs Friday on Bloomberg Daybreak. With S&P futures pointed 13 points lower, Dow futures down 109, NASDAQ futures down 45. And Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Stevens Institute of Technology, the Quant School on the Hudson. Visit their Hoboken campus on April 6th. For a graduate open house. Learn more at stevens.edu/open house.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Renaissance Capital, issuer of IPO ETFs and pre-IPO research, putting newly public companies to work in investor portfolios. To learn more, visit renaissancecapital.com.
And we're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. The global stock slide continues this morning with China leading the way. The Shanghai Composite Index dropped 4.4% after a rare selling rating from the nation's largest brokerage. That has traders thinking China could be trying to slow the country's equity rally. Janet Mui is global economist at Cazenove Capital.
I do think that the government noticed the leverage in the Chinese stock market has gone up quite substantially. That is a concern for the government because they're worried about financial risk. So I wouldn't be surprised if the government does want to slow the rally.
In the past 8 weeks, Chinese stocks have outperformed every other national market in the world.
Europe's Stock 600 is down 0.75% after the latest signs of an economic slowdown. German factory orders fell more than expected in January.
Here in the U.S., investors await the February payrolls report. Economists forecast a gain of 180,000 jobs with an unemployment rate back below 4%. Bloomberg's Vinnie Dalgiudice has more.
In January, the U.S. employment data surprised, showing a gain of 304,000 jobs, the most in 11 months. But the unemployment rate edged higher as more people started looking for work. Bloomberg Economics sees monthly payroll growth running near 200,000 through the first half of the year. Wages are also poised to accelerate as businesses struggle to fill slots. Job openings across the U.S. are running at a record 7.3 million. Vinnie Dalgiudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Vinnie, thank you. Bloomberg News has learned Deutsche Bank and Commerce Bank are intensifying informal merger talks. The two previously discussed a tie-up in the summer of 2016, but talks ultimately fell apart.
U.S. regulators have paused their review of T-Mobile's proposed takeover of Sprint. The FCC says more time is needed to review arguments for the deal presented by the companies.
And Costco shares rose almost 5% in extended trading. The retailer's margins beat projections, with same-store sales rising 7.2%.
Futures are lower this morning. S&P futures down 12.5 points. Dow futures down 107. NASDAQ futures down 42. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. DAX in Germany is down 0.7%. 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd, yield 2.63%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.46%. And NYMEX crude oil is down 1.7% or 97 cents to $55.70 a barrel. And straight ahead, the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. It's 5:33 on Wall Street. Let's find out more of what's going on around the world. Here's Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Nathan, thank you very much. President Trump's former campaign chairman, Paul Manafort, was sentenced to almost 4 years in prison for hiding millions of dollars offshore to support a rich lifestyle. Manafort, who is 69, faced the prospect of spending the rest of his life in prison, but a federal judge in Alexandria, Virginia, called an advisory range of 19 years to 24 years excessive. Defense attorney Kevin Downing.
Most importantly, what you saw today is the same thing that we had said from day one. There is absolutely no evidence that Paul Manafort was involved with any collusion with any government official from Russia.
Manafort faces another sentencing March 13th in Washington for conspiracy counts related to a secret lobbying campaign on behalf of Ukraine and for joining a Russian associate in tampering with witnesses. The House has passed a resolution condemning anti-Semitism and other bigotry. Freshman Democratic Representative Ilhan Omar's recent comments caused a stir, suggesting House supporters of Israel have dual allegiances. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi.
I don't believe it was intended in any anti-Semitic way, but the fact is, if that's how it was interpreted, we have to remove all doubt.
On the House floor, Republican Congressman Lee Zeldin accused the Democrats of hypocrisy.
I apparently am giving Rep. Omar more credit than the Speaker is, because I don't believe she is naive. I believe that she knows exactly what she's doing.
The vote was 407 to 23. Ex-Trump lawyer Michael Cohen sued the Trump Organization, claiming the president's family company stiffed him on millions of dollars in legal fees and costs. President Trump escaped his legal battle with Stormy Daniels after a judge put to rest her lawsuit seeking to void a hush agreement over a purported fling. The president had agreed 6 months ago not to enforce the deal to keep the porn actress, whose real name is Stephanie Clifford, quiet. President Trump's plan to call for sharp cuts in domestic spending will likely set off a battle in Congress. The budget office says domestic programs are in for a 5% cut. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air, and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. It's 5:35 on Wall Street. Time for Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashine.
Nathan, how much has Tom Seaver meant to the Mets? He was known as the franchise, one of only two Mets players to have their number retired, the star of the Miracle Mets of 1969. But when they gather this summer to celebrate the 50th anniversary, sadly, Seaver will not attend. The family released a statement, the 74-year-old Seaver suffering from dementia. The current Mets ace, Jacob DeGrom, gave up a couple of runs. Mets lost to Washington 6-4. DeGrom working with a new catcher, Wilson Ramos.
Still a little bit of a learning process. Threw more two-seamers than I probably normally would today. It's still a work in progress. You know, he's new. He's got to get used to what we like to do. And he's done a good job asking us what we want to do. I think it's just getting game situations and really figuring out, seeing like my game plan and my approach.
New Yank James Paxton looks good. 3 1/3 scoreless Yankees over the Phillies, 6-0. Islanders won 4-2 at Ottawa to move back into a tie for first. Valerie Filppula with two goals first period. Anthony Beauvillier snapped a 2-2 tie third period. Rangers in Detroit got a tying goal third period from Pavel Buchnevich, but lost to the Red Wings 3-2 in a shootout. College hoops, Metro Atlantic Tourney in Albany. Manhattan advances, beating Fairfield 57-53. We'll play Canisius tonight. St. Peter's, an overtime win over Marist, will now face Iona. Monmouth beat Niagara and will play Quinnipiac tomorrow. Case Keenum, a year ago, signed with Denver. Didn't work out there. The Broncos are moving on to Joe Flacco, and they will reportedly trade Keenum to Washington, where Alex Smith is expected to miss the season due to injury. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan.
And John, by the way, Bloomberg News has learned the New York Yankees are close to a deal to buy back the YES Network for almost $3.5 billion, with backing from Amazon and others. The network broadcasts Yankees games and the NBA's new Brooklyn Nets. It's the prize jewel of the sports network collection Disney is selling after its agreement to acquire 21st Century Fox. It is 5:37 on Wall Street. The latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands now. The cover story is on AT&T and its effort to pull HBO's streaming service out of the dark ages. Felix Gillette wrote the story for Bloomberg Business Week.
AT&T, which is now really seizing control of Warner Media and all the assets, their big plan for the future is that they want to roll out this direct-to-consumer streaming service by the end of the year.
You can read more about this and other stories in this week's edition of Bloomberg Business Week. Know what matters and why? Visit businessweek.com or pick up a copy of the magazine on newsstands now and listen to Business Week with Carol Masser and Jason Kelly weekdays at 2 p.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg Radio. 5:38 on Wall Street. Time for the Tri-State Business Report, brought to you by Virgin Atlantic. Over 300 hours of onboard entertainment, flatbeds for napping and afternoon tea, daily nonstop flights to the UK in partnership with Delta Airlines. Now here's Bloomberg's Ed Corey. Good morning, Ed.
Morning, Nathan. Pressure to find revenue to fix New York subways, buses, and regional commuter rail has sparked interest in a tax on wealthy non-residents who own luxury city apartments. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo's budget director says a tax on non-resident owners could raise up to $9 billion. Connecticut lawmakers are considering raising the state's minimum wage to $15. The Labor Committee heard testimony Thursday on legislation increasing the minimum wage by 2023 or 2024, as proposed by Governor Ned Lamont. Well, New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy has negotiated a contract with New Jersey's biggest public workers union. It includes 4 years of raises in return for health care cost cuts. Tune in to Bloomberg Radio this afternoon for a conversation with Governor Murphy. He speaks with Bloomberg's Carol Masser and Jason Kelly at 4:30 Wall Street time. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey. Nathan?
All right, Ed, thank you. It's 5:39 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Steve Potisk, and on KNX in Los Angeles, we're talking about an investor lawsuit against Mattel over the drop in demand for Barbie and Hot Wheels.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on WHAS in Louisville. Kroger is talking to potential partners in the healthcare industry about developing a new line of business.
I'm Marcus Carlson on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're reporting on Brexit jitters at the capital's number one foodie destination, Borough Market.
I'm Andrew O'Day on 1010 Winds in New York. I'm reporting on MasterCard striking a deal to set up a joint payments network in China.
I'm Ed Corey on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting Japan is changing its laws to get ready for self-driving vehicles.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. A Friday morning pointing to losses ahead of the jobs report out at 8:30 Wall Street time. S&P futures down 10.5 points right now. Dow futures down 94. NASDAQ futures down 36.5 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Coming up on 5:41 on Wall Street, straight ahead on Daybreak, an exclusive conversation with European Trade Commissioner Cecilia Malmström as the EU tries to ease trade tensions with the U.S. in a slowing global growth picture. This is Bloomberg.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. It is jobs day, but it is a plunge in Chinese stocks that is setting the tone for global markets, with equities in Europe retreating alongside U.S. stock index futures amid renewed concerns about global growth. The yen is climbing with gold as investors seek havens. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down 12 points. Dow futures down 103. NASDAQ futures down 40. The DAX in Germany is down 0.7%. 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd, yield 2.63%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.46%. NYMEX crude oil down 1.7% or 97 cents to $55.68 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.6% or $7.90 to $12.94 an ounce. The euro, $1.1217, and the yen, 111.17. The February jobs report is out at 8:30 Wall Street time, along with housing starts and building permits. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. The House has passed a resolution that broadly condemns anti-Semitism, Islamophobia, and other forms of hatred. The resolution came after Democratic Representative Ilhan Omar's recent comments suggested House supporters of Israel have dual allegiances. A judge in Virginia has sentenced former Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort to just under 4 years in prison for bank and tax fraud. Much of Venezuela was engulfed by darkness into early today, amid one of the largest power outages in recent years, raising tensions in a country already on edge from ongoing political turmoil. In the NHL, the Rangers lost in a shootout to the Red Wings. The Islanders won along with the Bruins. Global news 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it's coming up to 5:49 on Wall Street. We've been talking a lot about concerns about global growth showing up in equity markets this morning. The EU is warning that things could get even worse if the U.S. imposes tariffs on auto imports. That's according to European Trade Commissioner Cecilia Malmström. She spoke exclusively with Bloomberg's Caroline Hyde, Joe Weisenthal, and Scarlett Fu after a meeting with U.S. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer. Here's what Malmström had to say.
Talk to us about trust between Europe and U.S. As you come here to negotiate, meeting with Robert Lighthizer, is trust rebuilding, do you think, or not yet?
Well, I think it is. I mean, the U.S. and Europe, we are old friends, old allies. We have so much in common, and we should work together to address the imbalances, the injustices in the trade system. Reforming the WTO, looking at how we can address China, make them comply with international rules, writing new rules, etc. So this is what we should focus on. But there has been difficulties and difficult moments between the EU and US lately. We hope that we can rebuild that trust working in a variety of areas. So I come here regularly to meet with different people, of course, with Ambassador Lighthizer, but also with others to see how we can, you know, preserve this very strong and important alliance.
Let's talk about some of those difficulties. What are the specific sticking points that you see right now in your conversations?
We do not contest that one of the problems on global trade today is China dumping products on the global market, subsidizing their industries and creating imbalances. But the way to address this is not imposing tariffs on the European Union. We were quite upset that we were the solution to this were to impose tariffs on a variety of allies, including the European Union, on steel and aluminium. And there is a threat also on car and car tariffs. And we sure hope that this will not happen so that we can together work on a variety of issues facilitating trade between us, but also addressing issues such as China and how they behave on the international arena and reforming the WTO.
Let's talk about car tariffs. Are you still worried the U.S. will impose a 20%, a 25% tariff on imported cars? And if so, what would be the impact on the global economy if that happens?
Well, we haven't seen the report headed to the president. We still hope, of course, that it will not recommend tariffs on cars for European Union. It will be very harmful for our economy. It will be harmful for the global economy, and it will be very harmful for the U.S. economy, because, of course, many cars are produced here in the U.S. with car parts from Europe. They sustain many jobs. As a whole, European trade and investment support 7 million jobs in the U.S. So we have a strong relationship here, and we don't want to jeopardize this. This would have effects on the whole global economy. And as I understand, nobody is really asking for these car tariffs here in the U.S. either. So, of course, if that were to happen, and I really hope that will not be the case, we will have to impose rebalancing measures, and then our relationship on other areas would be very difficult.
Yeah. Talk to us about any rebalancing measures, retaliatory tariffs. Can you talk to us about your thinking about which sectors you would look to if you had to be forced there?
Well, we have started to prepare a draft list. It is not public yet. We have to consult with the EU member states, so I don't want to go into that. It will have the value of around 20 billion euros in total. But again, I really hope we don't have to do so, because we shouldn't impose tariffs on each other. We should work together. And Europe is an ally in the work that US wants to do, reforming WTO, working on China, addressing some of the market distortions that are there. And of course, that work would be so much more difficult if this happened.
And that was European Trade Commissioner Cecilia Malmström speaking exclusively with Bloomberg's Caroline Hyde, Joe Weisenthal, and Scarlett Fu. That conversation came following a meeting this week between Malmström and U.S. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer as they work, Karen, to strike a transatlantic trade deal by the end of the year.
All right, Nathan, thank you. 5:53 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Law Report. It is brought to you by American Arbitration Association. International trade or business dispute? Resolve faster with the International Center for Dispute Resolution, the leader in alternative dispute resolution around the world, ICDR.org. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning with Steve Podisk in the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington Newsroom.
A former chief information officer at Equifax has pleaded guilty to making insider trades before the company publicly announced a 2017 data breach. The Labor Department has unveiled a long-awaited proposal to make more workers eligible for overtime pay. Workers who make less than about $35,000 per year would be automatically eligible for time and a half pay for all hours worked beyond 40 a week. And women working in management accounting have caught up with their male colleagues in pay and benefits globally, but the gender pay gap persists in the U.S. and widens for women later in their careers.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need on one legal research platform. Guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
All right, Steve, thank you. Now, in other legal news we're watching this morning, Democratic lawmakers are moving a bill to restore Obama-era net neutrality rules that barred Internet service providers from blocking or slowing network traffic. For more on this story, June Grosso and Peter Barnes speak to Bloomberg Law telecom reporter John Reed.
John, is this simply an attempt to restore the rules that were in place before the FCC repealed them, or are there new additions?
That's exactly it. They are basically going to restore, they want to restore the Obama-era rules that the FCC passed back in 2015 and were since repealed by FCC Chairman Ajit Pai. It's actually being fought over in court as well. Republicans oppose Democrats' legislation. They both say they want a compromise, but the parties remain far apart, and none of them are giving any ground.
There were three Republican senators that joined with the Senate Democrats in 2018 to approve a resolution that would have rescinded this. So are there any Republicans there that might go along with this? It's a hugely popular issue with the public.
That's true, and Democrats like to point out how popular it is. Democrats could conceivably get some Republican support in the Senate, but because they're going through the regular legislative process for this bill as opposed to a resolution in the last Congress, they don't have enough votes to get it through the supermajority, which requires 60 votes, and they only got three Republican senators in the last Congress.
So what has been happening with broadband since the FCC repealed these rules?
So the rules are no longer in effect, and broadband providers like to point out that the world hasn't ended. They are continuing to abide by quote-unquote net neutrality principles, but the rules aren't in place, so conceivably broadband providers could block, throttle, or prioritize certain content if they want to, and the FCC would not enforce any of the net neutrality rules.
And that's Bloomberg Law telecom reporter John Reed speaking with June Grosso and Peter Barnes. You can listen to more legal analysis like this on Bloomberg Politics, Policy, Power, and Law, weekdays at 12 p.m. Wall Street time here on Bloomberg Radio. And find more legal news at BloombergLaw.com. Attorneys will find exceptional legal research and business development tools there as well. Visit BloombergLaw.com for more information. Nathan.
Karen, coming up today, we do get the U.S. jobs report for February. We invite you to tune in later this morning for Bloomberg Surveillance. We'll have live coverage and analysis beginning at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time when the Labor Department releases the report. Tom Keene and Jonathan Farrow will speak with Goldman Sachs Advisory Director and Senior Investment Strategist Abby Joseph Cohen.
And ahead of that report, futures are moving lower with S&P futures down 10.5 points right now. Dow futures down 94. NASDAQ futures are down 37. The DAX in Germany is down about 0.6%. The CAC in Paris down 0.5%. And the FTSE 100 down 0.9%. 10-year Treasury is little change. Yield 2.63%. Yield on the 2-year 2.46%. NYMEX crude oil falling down 1.6% or 92 cents to $55.73 a barrel. And COMEX gold is up 0.6% or $7.60 to $12.93.70 an ounce. The euro at $1.12.19. And Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.